You see how difficult it is. I'm not even talking about the red tape. I'm just talking about how big business will put you under so much pressure that you will not be able to survive. So just moving to the next point, which is, you know, an ordinary worker has got recourse to maybe the CCMA, he's got maybe a small claims court, whatever, right? What do businesses have? What does a small business have? Who does he go to? There's no small claims court. There's no business ombudsman. If a bigger business company treats you unfairly, I'll give you an example. We import a sweet called Heartbeat Love Candy from Thailand. We were importing it for years. It became a big brand, and the currency was, our currency wasn't holding out too well, and we decided to manufacture it locally. Now we're making that in our factory under license, and we launched it in South Africa. So what does Tiger Brain do? They've got a product called Smoothies. They drop the price by 30%. This can be proven. So what happens? They can sell one item at cost price because they're making a lot of money on all the other products. Now suddenly we're up against Tiger Brains. We cannot compete with them. And the wholesalers will buy the cheapest product where they can make the most margin. So automatically that plays us out of the game. So some of the big players sell at prices that you cannot compete against on a product for a while. And then eventually when you're out of it, at some point we were making a small little tube of chocolate and we were selling it at a low price. Cadbury brought in a few containers of the same product made in India by Cadbury India and sold it at half our price. So we had to discontinue the product. Now, these big players, they just do that for a short while and you cannot fight them. Now, in the absence of a CCMA type small claims court or some kind of quicker, shorter, cheaper way of fighting them, we don't have recourse. So if we go to court, they've got lawyers that will help to drag the matter out for 3 years before it comes to court. In 3 years' time, you well past the bankrupt stage, so you can't fight them. So there has to be some short-term, quick, small claims court or ombud or something, and I think the Competition Commission should really help us with this. So I've come here because we support the bill, but we think it should go a little further. When it comes to a free market economy and the arguments for a free market economy and for entrepreneurship and all that, do those principles take into account what happens to the small business and the economy in general? Do the ShopRites of the world see the long-term effects of having a poor, impoverished community around it that they're going to enslave, but eventually they're going to burn that ShopRite down? Do they see the long-term benefits of empowering the community and helping people to do better so that they themselves can do better? Because one day, you know, we begin to understand here that while apartheid enslaved black people, it also enslaved white people because nobody was free until everybody is free. So in the same way, big business will be freed. They will still live a comfortable life and make more money, but the point is that they will actually do better. And I think that the Competition Commission bill needs to give effect to that, that the wealth has to be shared because it's impossible to share the wealth when one small group controls the entire economy. There were some deals made during CODESA between government and big business. And big business will control the economy, and at the time, the ANC will control the politics. The problem is that big business outmaneuvered the political powers by all different kinds of methods where they actually control everything. So the economy is controlled by them. And once you control the economy, you control the politics. Simply because whatever laws are passed, if the laws are not implemented, not strong enough, and if they have the big legal firms on their side, they're able to pay for it. So if you can't pay for a lawyer, you can't pay these big firms. They've got, when you talk to a big legal firm, They will tell you what access they have to which parts of government and which, you know, it's impossible to fight against against any of the big players because they can afford the clout. Okay, I don't think I'm going to need my full 25 minutes, but I just want to say a few quick things. The criminal liability of directors has to be part of law because they cannot do this and then just say, okay, we'll just increase the price. In terms of business, teaching business to ordinary people, I think there has to be some structure that does this because I don't think that every black person in the township is going to suddenly become a business person overnight without some kind of background in the education system, as was stated earlier. you know, there's a question about house brands. So a big retail store carries one big brand or two big brands and one house brand. Now, a house brand is a no-name brand. Now, I'm not sure whether it can be outlawed because when they have a no-name brand, it means they control that brand. So they go to one manufacturer, they say, manufacture this under our name. It's called whatever, a no-name brand. If you don't comply with them 100%, they just go to another manufacturer and say, make the same thing, it's our no-name brand. So the product doesn't have a brand, it's the name of the brand is the name of the store that sells it. And so no supplier has any power. The only power you could possibly have is that if your brand is strong enough and people demand your brand. So some of them say to you, can you make us a lollipop that's under our brand? And we have to say no, because on principle we think that's wrong. Because now they have a pop which has their name on it and they can just drop you and go to somebody else. So I think that house brands needs to be re-looked at, you know. I think the question of dominant firms has to be redefined. It cannot be 45%. Nobody in this country owns, will ever own 45%. Like I said, there's five big retail chains. They on average own 20% each. So the dominant has to be either mean 10% or less, or it has to be a figure, or it has to be number of people you employ, or it has to be your net asset value or something. But I don't know the answer, but I'm just saying to make it 45% is really not workable. I think rebates need to be outlawed. I believe they're outlawed in the United States. And I think that they're outlawed because of the discrepancies that they cause. I just want to say that before a chain store is allowed to open in a township, in any township, there has to be some impact study like you do a traffic impact study, because otherwise they just come in and shut everyone else down, right? I think last one is BEE codes need to be redefined, because we've had the same experience. We go to a chain store and they say, no, we only buy from you if you BEE level 1 or 2. We can't get that level because it's impossible to comply with all of the BEE codes to the extent that they're able to do it, and I don't know how they do it. You know, but it's quite wrong. So I'm just saying that these big concerns, they have cross ownership, they have cross shareholdings, and so they control the top and the bottom. They control the sugar, the supply of sugar at the top, and they control the retail of the final product. So the way we are caught in between the big suppliers who can do without us at any point and the big retailers who don't need us at all. So we don't have any way to guarantee survival of our 500 workers and to keep our business alive. So we're between a rock and a hard place, and we need some help. We seriously need some help from government and from the Competition Commission, and we just hope this bill will be passed and it will be strengthened and a lot of it will be enforced. Okay. Can I hand over to Bram? Thank you.
Thank you so much, Uncle Nazir. In short, our view is much like there has to be a minimum wage, otherwise workers will be exploited beyond acceptable standards. There needs to be a guideline to strengthen medium and small businesses so that they can be protected by the ever-increasing strength of the Pick and Pays, ShopRites and other firms, which end up monopolizing the retail outlets and forcing local medium black-owned companies to meet terms that are unreasonable and to end up enslaved with next to no profits, sometimes struggling to survive and often shutting down, while also working with these big companies that have the ability to run one or two line items at zero profit for 6 months a year to shut down Broadway Suites and then to lift their prices later to profit on their monopoly. So there needs to be a stick, and we think that this new bill and the Competition Tribunal Commission can be strengthened with teeth so that a disgruntled medium to small company feels bereaved, they can approach the Commission for unfair practices that are simply unreasonable and aim to create a monopoly on the market. Much like employers must not be allowed to offer any wage equally, these big businesses mustn't be allowed and given the power to say we'll give you what we want. In fact, there was an incident with Broadway Suites where one of the suppliers, one of their delivery men, delivered a box of lollipops and was called some really insulting racist names, came back to Uncle Nazir, and Uncle Nazir was in a challenge now. Does he phone this big boss of this company to complain and to shout at this person or lay charges against this person and threaten to lose a big client, or must they allow themselves to be abused or raped by such behavior? What empowers the supplier, especially the small, medium-sized supplier, to stand their ground if they are at the beholder of the big companies? They should be protected, and I think the Competition Commission, with this bill and possibly stronger, could play that part to ensure that there isn't a slavery manufacturing sector or a manufacturing sector that gets shut down and replaced by big companies that are increasingly using machines instead of workers. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Broadway Suites, for the presentation. I was also listening with interest and wanted to hear you referring to the provisions of this particular amendment bill. I can place some of the issues that you've raised to the current amendment or amended areas of the legislation or proposed legislation. But it is important that you do that yourself so that it is not said that I did that on your behalf, or any member stand that on your behalf. Nothing stops us from doing that, because after listening to you, we can be able, in our discussion, to place the points as you've raised. This is the feeling I have out of the whole thing, but what I've heard, the criminal liability of directors must be put into law, that's what you said. Definition of dominant firm, you say it needs to be reworked. There are areas that the issues that you've raised that are not necessarily relevant to the Act, but they are important again to the economy. Economic debate. Guidelines to be strengthened, I mean to strengthen and protect SMMEs must be developed. Again, guidelines in relation to what? Because there are several areas in the bill that refers to the Competition Commission, or the that proposes that the Competition Commission must come up with a guideline, but we're not sure at this moment which particular one are you referring to. Hence, I'm saying it's important that you make reference to a particular clause whenever you make a presentation. We don't want to undermine your presentation. It's very important and it's raising very important issues, relevant issues. But without placing them, you know, it's going to be very difficult to do that on your behalf. So if you can, you may please do that by tomorrow or Thursday, and then we can be able then to interact on those. I'm not sure whether there's any member who has a question. Or anything to clarify, Ma'am Fuller?
Thank you, Chair. I could hear that you are talking about the how inference that needs to be outlawed or controlled. So my clarity around that is it. I'm just thinking loudly now. I'm trying to understand what you say about the house brand. You say they will be using their own shop name as house brand, whereas they bought it
like no-name brands, Pick and Pay, like those in the shelves of the, you know, Checkers or whatever.
Yeah.
You're referring to such. Danico, is that what is referred to by house brands?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, Chair. So what you are saying is to say they need to be outlawed. They should be abolished, because now that's a clarity that I need. It means the name of the small business that is producing that, it's not coming forth, but it's the name of the shop that is coming forth. So in short, you are saying the name, even if it's a house brand, it should be that of the person who's manufacturing that over there. And then the other one is to say, okay, the chairperson has said the protections of suppliers, they need to be protected. And then, no, I think the chairperson has covered, including the rebate, it should be outlawed. It should be abolished also. And then we need to relook at the BBBE 1 and 2 to say, why do they get it right and small businesses don't get it right? Those are the clarity that I need. Or to say, is that what they're saying?
You want them to clarify that, no?
Yes.
Okay. Over to you.
Thank you, Chair. Okay, let's just start with the house brands, right? The reason we're concerned about the house brands is because if you're supplying a chain store with baked beans, for example, and they have a no-name brand baked beans, so they have Checkers or Pick and Pay or whatever brand be, they can make it at any factory and you've got no way of being certain that you're going to continue with that brand. So your job security of your workers is affected, because you may just not have orders next month because they can make it at another factory. So just like how you have to offer your workers job security in your factory, you need some security from people who are buying from you, because if they're not going to continue, then you are unable to continue also. So house brands are a way to move the power away from the supplier or the manufacturer to the chain store groups, who are dominant players in our case, who have their own house brands. And making house brands is another way to give them even more power than they already have. Okay, sorry, the other question was... Oh, yes, the other question was about the BEE. I'm not sure what it means, but just from our...
Because she wanted you to clarify the BEE status that is given to small businesses.
May I
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. No, I think that what Mr. Osman was referring to was the fact that his family were not only classified black during apartheid, but they were quite active in resisting apartheid. And it's a family-owned business, 100% family-owned business. And for some reason, he struggles to get the same BE accreditation of some internationally owned big, big brands which seem to somehow get that accreditation. So the details would just need to be looked at, and like the chairperson indulged us, we'll definitely follow with a written submission outlining where some of the issues will be placed within the bill. And indeed, some might not be placed within this particular bill. We respect that, but we're just raising the issues that are affecting the business at his level. Thank you.
Thank you very much for the clarification. And yes, I think in the fourth parliament, we did, we held a public hearing on access to finance, was it that? Yeah, by SMMEs and SMME development in general. We have a report that was tabled for Parliament, and if we'd want to go through that, you know, the records of Parliament of this particular committee on that, we had a very big, you know, number of participants, actually, a high number of participants to that regard, and most of the issues we are raising were raised in this matter. After being deliberated upon, the Speaker sent them to various departments. I think that's the reason why the new Department on Small Business was established. So I think from what we've listened to, there's a lot that still needs to be done. Maybe another public hearing that will really delve into issues of small, medium enterprises and their plight in South Africa. I think it's very important that we also deal with that, because I sense the frustration since this morning from various presenters, and it pains one sitting here as a member of parliament to hear people talking about lack of transformation there, lack of transformation there. It's just that business activity sometimes is the domain of those who can participate, and government can regulate, and this is one way of regulating. But we can't stop certain activities happening. We can only regulate certain practices against certain practices so that we promote fair competition in business. So there are certain areas or issues that we'll be able to delve into, but there are certain areas that perhaps they belong to a broader, you know, spectrum of sectors within the economy itself, and I'm sure that the outcome of this particular public hearing will really be communicated to Parliament, and those issues that still need follow up, but that are not necessarily within the realm of the Competition Act, will also be given to them so that perhaps they look at what can be done to help salvage the situation. So can you allow us at the moment to say really thank you, and await your written, if you have, but I heard that really the spirit was to raise this issue, even though they are not going to be aligned to the particular sections of the allow us, then we would really say the closer to that with you, and that's what
you have. No, I don't need to say anything, Chair. Thank you very much. Much appreciated.
Thank you very much. Our interaction with Broadway Street. The last presentation for the day is from the National Union of Mine Workers. Come on time, 9 o'clock.